The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And time now to go to Gaelic football. We're joined by Conor McCarthy and Ray Silk this week to look to the All-Ireland Senior Quarterfinals. But Ray, before we do so, I think it would be appropriate, given that you were the captain of the Galway team that won in 1998, that you remember a friend of yours who has funeral, I believe, was today, Paul Clancy. Tell us all about Paul, please.
Yeah, Paul was a bit of a once-off, Matt, if you can imagine James Dean or Steve McQueen playing Gaelic football. He was just a really cool guy. A man of immense character and charisma. And when you were with Paul, you knew things were probably going to be okay because he was a very, very talented player. But sometimes he would be maybe behind the curveball as regards publicity with Jaff Allen and Pádraig Joyce and Michael Donlan. But Paul was an immense player. He won two All-Irelands and then obviously he won an All-Ireland club intermediate with his club, Mike Cullen. And I think what set him apart a little bit, Matt, as well, is that he always knew who he was and where he was from. He was always happy in his skin, and he was a very authentic character. 3 years ago, I was on your show, actually, and I got a spin back with Paul. We'd done a podcast with Colin Parkinson, and we had a great chat. And one thing I remember from the chat, he drove me home that night, is he would always feel that his two greatest achievements weren't on Gaelic football, but his two fantastic children, Ellen, who's coming into our school next year into the Jazz, and Finn, who's going into sixth class. And he was happiest in their company. And then, you know, sympathies to the love of his life, Joanna Fahey, from a fantastic family in Salt Hill. And she was very humorous today. She said, Paul won a lot of battles, she said, but me moving back into Salt Hill was one he couldn't win because Paul loved Mike Cullen, but we all have to go where we're brought sometimes. So he's a huge loss, and particularly for his family, Matt, because, you know, the GAA, Gerald Burns, was there today, and the GAA family are there for you at this time, obviously, but it's the dark times ahead that's going to be tough. And just to mention too, his beautiful sister as well, Linda, who tragically lost her husband, Don, with cancer only last August. So it's been a tough time for sure, but Paul Clancy was once off, and he was fantastic company, Matt, and he's a huge loss to everybody, but especially to Joanna and to Ellen and Finn.
I believe, as a marker of respect, the Galway won't be using the number 10 jersey this weekend.
Yeah, Keane Darcy, as it were, Pádraig Joyce was there. And look, you come together on these kind of occasions and they're very sad, but you know, the vast majority of the 98 and 01 team were there. There was a guard of honour and, you know, carrying the coffin and stuff. But yeah, Keane Darcy's number 22. I got home there about an hour ago and I had a quick look. And Keane Darcy is number 22 and they're retiring the number 10 this weekend. But he was a bit of a once-off, Matt. And I don't say that lightly, in that he had so many friends in such various guises, and he was very, very popular. He was in ESB networks for years. He was a fantastic person, and 49 is way, way too young to go. So, yes, Jay, Anam Gielish.
Indeed. Conor McCarthy, I believe you played for Cork against Paul.
Yeah, coincidentally, I'm on my way back from my column myself. Paul and myself marked each other. He was supposed to mark me. I ended up marking him more so in the All-Ireland quarterfinal in 2005, but we ended up working together in ESP quite a bit over the years, and people have said over the last few days that on the pitch he made people look better around him. It's a really nice compliment, but just as a professional with ESP, he was absolutely the same. You know, he walked into a room, he made everyone else better around him, and he always had a quiet word, and he was so incredibly effective as incredibly effective as a leader, and he's just a tremendous guy.
That's very sad, but a lovely tribute from both of you to him.
Matt Kelly, just one of the nicest things that were said, and it was from one of the girlfriends, a long-term girlfriend of one of our best players ever. And I was talking to her yesterday, and she just said, the thing about Paul, Ray, is when you were talking to him, he was always present with you. And it really resonated. I thought, what a lovely compliment.
Okay, may he rest in peace, Paul Clancy. Let's talk about the weekend's action. And Conor, delighted to have you with us, because we haven't had too many opportunities in recent years to talk to you about Cork. But here they are in the quarterfinals, the first quarterfinal tomorrow at 4 p.m. in Croke Park, playing against Mayo. And on the basis that Cork have had a week off and that they were big enough and strong enough to go up and win in Donegal 2 weeks ago, there are people suddenly talking about Cork have a chance tomorrow. What do you think?
I think both teams, when the draw was made, would fancy their chances for sure. And everyone at Cork is just so happy for the team and so happy for John Cleary. You know, they've put a huge amount of work in over the last number of years. And there's a tremendous feel-good factor about the footballers that's always there about the hurlers, but about the footballers now as well. So it's really an incredible achievement to get this far. But they were in the quarterfinal before. They've been in the quarterfinal a number of times over the last few years. Mayo, I guess, haven't been there since 2023, I think it was. And given that Mayo are coming off a two-week block of week on week, and they're coming into the third week in a row after a big win, I think Cork will really fancy it.
Yes, indeed. What do you attribute the turnaround for Cork for? And actually, it does remind me that there was a turning point in Cork Gaelic football. I think it was against Mayo in Croke Park back in 2012, when Cork had won the All-Ireland in 2010, had been in the semi-final in 2011. I don't think they've been back to a semi-final since 2011. That was a turning point. So maybe what have Cork done to get themselves into a position where this could be another turning point tomorrow? Conor?
I don't think there's any silver bullet. I think it's been a tremendous amount of hard work in the background. I think John Cleary is a tremendous way of simplifying the game and getting the most out of players without making it overly technical. Stephen Sherlock is having an absolutely standout year, but they're really solid at the back now as well. They have a tremendous midfield. Ian McGuire and Colm O'Callaghan will probably match any midfield in the country. And midfield has become so important over the last two seasons with the changed rules. And they've got a fresh injection of youth with Dara Sheedy coming in, and Sean McDonald is having a strong year there as a kind of a real hard-working wing forward. Does so much unseen work. I think himself and Paul Walsh really do an awful lot of Trojan work there around the middle that people don't see. And I'd say no one can question Cork's work rate. And if you were to attribute it to any one thing, it would be a bit of a sense of freedom. And they apply a huge work rate then when they don't have the ball.
Ray Silk, we wouldn't have seen this coming when Cork were rather limp in their performance against Kerry in the Munster final, would we?
No, not at all. And to be fair, I thought Donegal would win that match. But Cork, like Conor's right, they beat Meath and they were 8 points down at one stage in Porky Win, and they came by and beat them, Mayo beat them. But no, Cork have been coming fairly well. They got 17 points against Donegal. Obviously, you would have expected... Well, I expected Donegal to win that, but they didn't. But I think, you know, John Cleary, just from talking to Kevin Walsh, who's involved as well, John Cleary is held in huge respect. And I think they have a really good setup now. The lads are buying into it. And belief is an amazing thing if people start scoring. And like Sherlock shooting the lights out. He's in all-star form. I think he got 9 points, three twos, two of them from frees against Donegal. So when you have that freedom and like... Sometimes look, Matt plays a factor. Was it Tommy Walsh or Luke Fahey? I think it was Tommy Walsh came up the field. He was falling. He was physically falling and he threw his boot at it, hit the post and went over for a two-pointer. And then Luke Fahey got an absolute screamer as well. So, look, I would give them a very, very good chance. But, you know, Mayo have, I think there's a bit of a Corby McDonald factor in Mayo now as well.
Well, indeed, Ray. I was just about to say, it might stand to Cork. They've already had the Croke Park experience this year of having lost to Meath in the Division 2 decider, frustratingly, but they might have learned a lot from it. But on the other side, Mayo also have had their big comeback win against Meath to bring them to this. And you've just mentioned Kobe McDonald, because they wouldn't want this to be the one and only time that he'll end up playing in Croke Park for them, would they?
Absolutely not. But he played basketball against our school, Matt, and he's very, very talented. He's not that tall, and one of our boys is 6'7", but Corby was competing with him in the air. And in a funny instance, he kind of fell in on top of a few of us teachers that were at the game up in UG. And I'm so sorry about that. He seems to be a lovely guy. He seems to be a phenomenal trainer. And, you know, he's scoring well. And then Ryan O'Donoghue, the pressure's off him a little bit. So that makes it a bit easier for him. And in their win over Monaghan, I was just doing a small bit of research. The full forward line scored 116. Now, admittedly, it went extra time, but that's great scoring. And I think a big thing that happened in the last... Well, Aidan O'Shea isn't getting on, but no more than Michael Murphy last week against Cork. A certain time comes when, if your pace is gone, you cannot play the modern game now unless you've legs. You just can't, because the opposition will target you and they'll create an overlap and you can't be out there. But Jordan Flynn scored 5 points from play the last day against Meath. And it was a fantastic turnaround. And Jack Kearney's doing well, but I agree with Conor. I think the 3 weeks in a row might come against them. And I do think that Cork have a little bit of resilience and a little bit of belief. And in the second half against Donegal, they scored 12-6. And that win and the previous win should have kind of emboldened them to believe we can do this. And I think they can.
Immediately after Conor, we have Kerry playing against Tyrone. And Kerry now are starting to move up the gears, and comprehensive victory over Armagh last weekend has made them the firm favourites to win the All-Ireland. How much do Tyrone have to put up against them? Because there are players in this Tyrone team who won an All-Ireland only back in 2021, beat Kerry in the semi-final, but it seems that since 2008, when Tyrone beat Kerry in the final, in all of the championship encounters since, Kerry have had the upper hand, with the exception of 2021. Any sign that Tyrone have enough for tomorrow to be able to overcome Kerry?
You'd have to say Kerry looked to have timed their run really, really well. You know, they're the firm favourites, you're right. This is their third week on the bounce as well. If they're going to get caught at all, it might be this weekend. After that, then, you know, you'd say it's theirs to lose. Malachy O'Rourke is really shrewd. You'd have to say that stands in Tyrone's favour. He's been there, done that. But it's very hard to look beyond Kerry. And the most interesting thing about Kerry for me is, you know, they had those injuries, but the next batch of players who came up have just played really, really well. If you've been watching them, and I've been watching them, Mike Breen has had a fantastic year so far. Graham O'Sullivan is playing out of his skin, as is Marco Shaden. Those three alone have been tremendous for them. And then they've obviously, their superstars come back in Shaunie O'Shea and Joe O'Connor is back playing well as well now. So if you go through Kerry's team and you realise you have to man-mark David Clifford, you have to man-mark Shaunie O'Shea when he comes on, you have to man-mark Paddy Clifford, and then you have all these other players who can break the line, and you've only eight players back there to defend the rest of the team. Joe O'Connor punching holes, Gavin White punching holes. It's just hard to see Kerry's quality losing to anyone. But the unpredictability of the championship this year, you never know, but it's just hard to look beyond Kerry.
But back to you, Ray. Does Tyrone have, in Niall Morgan, one of the best kick-out specialists and somebody you can add a lot going up the pitch as well, and added to his kick-out expertise, a really top-class midfield in Brian Kennedy and Colin Kilpatrick, which will give them competitiveness, at least in this game against Kerry tomorrow?
Look, and they've been winning narrowly. Like, it was 22-118, so they beat Mayo by a point, and then they beat Roscommon, was it, you know, narrowly as well, 25-24. They were lucky enough there. So I think Connor's point is well made, that maybe there's a wee bit more quality in Kerry most definitely, but I think Tyrone will take that on board and work really hard. Kennedy is very good. Kilpatrick. Darren McCurry came on the last day, Matt, and he shot 6 points. We were at ladies' training the evening after. We were trying to do what he did, and nobody could do it. Like, he really burst, came in and got man of the match in 35 minutes, which was fantastic. I like that Owen McElhone. He's a good player as well. Ethan Jordan. They have quality, no doubt about it. And Matthew Donnelly has been around. He's an All-Ireland medal to show for it. But, you know, they're 5-1 for a reason, Matt. 5-6-1 some places. So everybody's going for Kerry. But I think your point is well made when you said Kerry need to be stopped, if they can at all be stopped now, or at least in the semi. You know, they're just such a quality outfit. And I was watching their last game against Armagh, like, where they scored 418. And one thing that stood out, their kick passing is just so, so good. Like, Graham O'Sullivan, two or three on him, looks up, picks it out. Paul Geaney, crossfield pass to Clifford, no solo, no hop, two-pointer. They scored 322 against Kildare. They do look like a team that are ramping up, and that's a scary prospect for all the rest of us. I thought I was going to have to get a psychotherapist in there or something for yourself and Matt and Connor there when you started talking about poor Cork, but against Kerry. But it's Kerry. I expect Kerry to beat Tyrone. Maybe they won't hammer them, but I do expect Kerry to win by three or 4 points.
Let's talk about Sunday's games. And Monaghan, Connor, haven't been out of Clonus. They're now playing Louth on Sunday, and I suspect they'll fancy this one.
Yeah, it's tremendous to think that either Louth or Monaghan will be in the All-Ireland semi-final. And let's say they drew the winners of Cork and Mayo, you know, one of them could well be in the final. It's quite conceivable. Monaghan are a team that are fighting on their backs throughout the championship. I mean, they had a miserable Division 1. They didn't win a single game. And I think Gabriel Bannigan himself said they were lucky not to be in Division 3. But the way they've reinvented themselves throughout the championship, And the way some of their players are playing and the leadership they're showing is amazing. And we talked about Niall Morgan a while ago. I mean, if you look at Rory Began, like the influence he's having on the championship, you know, like in a multi-dimensional way, you know, his kickouts, his free kicks, what he's scoring from free kicks, how he's contesting kickouts, how he's tackling, how he's getting involved in open play. It's an incredible thing to see. The only thing he's not doing is catching kickouts, and maybe the only reason he's doing that is because he's taking them himself, you know. So I think that's what it comes down to on Sunday, is that Rory Began, it looked like a groin injury coming off the last day. And I just don't see him. I don't see Manon winning if Rory Began isn't playing. Not to be too simplistic about it, but he's just so important to them. I think that's going to be key.
Okay, what about Louth, Ray? Do you think, how good can they be in this?
Yeah, look, they got a kind of an injection of luck, really. I mentioned luck before, Sam Mulroy's kick in, Ethan Rafferty didn't catch it. And in that moment, that's where Armagh's season totally unraveled. It wasn't against Kerry. They looked like, you know, they weren't able to get back on the horse. But, you know, Louth with Gavin Devlin will feel that they have a good opportunity, as Conor said, to get to an All-Ireland semi-final. I like Mulroy. I think Craig Lennon at left half-back is a super player. Conor Grimes, they have some legs. But if Monaghan can get ball, like the running power of Michael Brannigan and Stephen O'Hanlon is exceptional. And in the last game, Jack McCarron scored 1-5. They're a tenacious outfit, typified by no one else more so than Ryan O'Toole, who was a real dogged guy. I remember we got a goal there a few years ago to win an Ulster semi-final or final. So they're hard to shake. But Began scored 6 points. 3 2-point frees. His kickouts, like, I was humming and hawing because, you know, Paul and stuff, I didn't know how, did I want to go or not or whatever. And I was talking to a goalie and he said, we have to go up and see Rory Began, because he said his kickouts are drochedger. They're unbelievable, he said. And he said, people are saying Niall Morgan is this and different that. He said, Began is the king. So if Began isn't able to play, I think Monaghan will struggle to get enough possession to win the match.
Okay, and then Galway and Dublin. The game at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Conor, Dublin, it seems, are back, if they'd ever really gone away. They beat Donegal last week, but they had to play extra time. You look at the Dublin team and you look at 8 to 15 in particular and you go, that's really, really strong. But will they be handicapped by having to put in so much effort with the extra time only last Sunday?
Yeah, it's hard not to be caught up in the enthusiasm with Dublin, but if you look at them over the course of the season, they're tremendously inconsistent. So having lost earlier in the year to Louth and Westmeath and then to beat Donegal is brilliant, but like Donegal were also beaten by Down and beaten by Cork and were coming off a loss the previous weekend. So not to dampen the enthusiasm of the Dubs, but going to extra time last week and the emotional energy as well as the physical energy they had to put into that game. When the draw was being made Monday morning, I was hoping Cork would get Dublin, actually, because I think Dublin would find it really hard to raise themselves. Looking at some of the injuries that they may have, it's hard to see Conor Callan actually starting. I know he's named to start, but he was catching his hamstring coming off in a 6-day turnaround. It's really hard to see him starting. Niall Scully absolutely emptied himself. Is it possible for him to have the same effect in the game again? I don't know. And just, they've been so porous at the back all year. And Galway are coming so strongly with such a strong team and a full squad. I find it hard to see anyone but Galway winning this game.
So, Ray, is that the way you'd look at it? That Dublin can't be as good again at a time when they actually need to be better?
Well, the rest factor is a big factor. I know Dublin are at home, basically at home anyways, but after extra time, and Conor Callaghan, I thought it was their older guys that really led the show the last day. Colin Basquel, Cormac Costler did well. Now, admittedly,
they had good impact Guyton off the bench as well, though, didn't they?
Yeah. Guyton did really well. And I really like that Ross McGarry, playing with the club. Like, he's very hard to track. He's the kind of player I would have hated marking because he's everywhere and he's pace. But he did well as well. So I think, I'd say Joe Brennan is happy to have with the impact off the back, Paddy Small, but Conor Callaghan is a massive loss if he's gone. It was my first time really noticing Charlie McMurra the last day at centre-back. He carried an awful lot of ball up the field. But Galway, the general consensus in Galway, Matt, is if we can't beat Dublin, we're as well off out of it. Like, let's just put ourselves out of the misery. Because we beat them maybe 2 years ago. Luckily enough, the great Dublin team was kind of imploding. Killy McDade scored a few screamers that day. But if Galway, who have had 2 weeks rest, who have no obvious injuries, if we can't beat a Dublin team that's on the back of two games in a row and extra time and maybe missing the best player, let's save ourselves the expense and the hassle of going to Dublin for a semi-final and then maybe potentially meeting, if you got kept going, carrying the final. So it's Galway with poor choice. It's its seventh year. They do need to win this game. And for that to happen, they're going to need Darcy and McDade, in particular, Maher, that central diamond. But Shane Walsh does look to be coming back to the form that he showed. Like, I will never forget the 9 points in the All-Ireland Final 2022 and David Clifford. It was just awesome, the two of them. It was a pleasure to be there. If Walsh gets enough ball, I don't think there's any Dublin defender that can stop him.
Okay. Are you as impressed by Galway, Conor?
I think Galway, again, have been a bit under the radar, but they've done what they've had to do. Their wins over Kildare and Westmeath, and they've had 2 weeks and 2 weeks in between, and just the chemistry of the draw and the tempo and the requirement to be at your peak with intervals in between. Yeah, I think Galway are coming like a steam train.
Thank you very much, Conor McCarthy and Ray Silk, for being with us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.